WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. When the communist government controlled every aspect of publishing in Czechoslovakia, Martin Šimečka wrote and published dissident literature. Now his novel, The Year of the Frog, first published underground, has been published in the U.S. Šimečka's father, Milan, was a prominent dissident who spent much of the 80s in prison. As the son of a dissident, Martin wasn't allowed to attend the university, he couldn't travel, and was only permitted to hold menial jobs. He and his father were both active in the Velvet Revolution. Democracy took a surprising turn when the country split into two separate republics. Šimečka lives in Bratislava, Slovakia. Šimečka was in the U.S. last week to receive the Pegasus Prize for Literature, and he told me that his father had been one of Václav Havel's advisors.
Well, my father was one of those writers who belonged to this group of intellectuals and writers in Czechoslovak underground. Václav Havel was one of these, of those in this group. There were about around 20 to 30 authors. Names like Ivan Klima, you might know, he also says, and the others. And, well, they became very close friends with Václav Havel. And actually, I was also in part as the youngest author in that group. And for me, it was another kind of university to meet these people very often and discuss literature and politics. And, well, I was I was a witness of all these discussions with my father and Václav Havel about the politics and future. And it was a very strange situation because Václav Havel actually denied that he's a politician. And my father told him, was telling him all the time that, Václav, you are a politician. You have to admit it, that all things you are doing and writing is political. And if times will change, and my father was deeply convinced that the times had to change, that Václav would be one of the most important person in that country. So when it really started and happened in 89, so the situation changed and Václav Havel became a politician, but my father stayed independent intellectual. He didn't want to be involved in the political process. But then Václav Havel came to him and told him, look, you are responsible somehow also for these changes, and you have to help me. So my father, he agreed, but mostly because of Václav Havel was probably the only man who could persuade my father to join the politics. But probably it was not, maybe, I think, for my father, a good decision, because he then died three months after.
It's really tragic that your father died so soon after the end of communism in Czechoslovakia.
I think this was one of, it's very difficult to judge it. I think that my father was one of those who was all the time this optimistic philosopher of optimism. He wrote and he talked about changes that had to come. Nobody believed him, but he was one of this really hope for many people. They liked to listen him. They liked to write him, to read him. But probably it was for my father very difficult to be one of these very few optimists. And when the change came, I think was my father was one of these long distance runner when they. When they finished, or they were, they reached the aim, they then somehow had no energy to continue in another life. I'm not sure about that, but I think this is one of the reasons.
What was it like for you after the end of communism? What were the things that you found most thrilling and maybe most disappointing?
Well, I was not so optimistic as my father was. When the changes came, I saw mostly not this very positive individual revolt against communism. I saw the masses, the crowds without real ideas. And 2 months later, especially in Slovakia, actually appeared in after the changes already the first signs of nationalism. For me, was actually this for my skeptical soul, it was just that it was proved that the communism is much deeper in human soul than we believed. And now, when I'm living now in a country which where this nationalistic movement actually created a new state, and I call it just a continuity of one utopia to another one. It's where we lived in social utopias, which became actually in totalitarian system. So we now live, in fact, in a kind of ethnical utopia that, which is ideological in a very similar to social one. And for me, it is. I can't say I'm disappointed. I just know how it works, and so it's for me another challenge.
So you were sorry that Czechoslovakia split apart?
Yes, of course, but it was not only because I was sorry, because my father, for example, was Czech, so my roots are in Czech countries, and I live in Slovakia. I'm a Slovak writer, but I'm asked to declare that I'm Slovak, that I'm not Czech, and this is a problem with identity. I don't want to declare very often, because then it loses its truth, and the problem in the split, that it was a space for, very natural space for hundreds of thousands of people who felt their identity like Czechoslovak identity, and now they have to deal with that situation that is quite unnatural, split without asking people if they really want it or not. This is a split without referendum. So it's not only that I'm sorry for the split, but the more I'm afraid of this, of the future, because I thought that this split was a result of ideological war.
If you're just joining us, my guest is writer Martin Šimečka. He's from Slovakia, and his novel, The Year of the Frog, has just been published in the United States. I'm going to take a short break, then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. My guest is writer Martin Šimečka. He was involved with the Velvet Revolution in Czechoslovakia. Now he lives in Slovakia. You said that the Slovak government wants people to stand up and declare their Slovak identity. What is being asked of you in terms of you making statements about your identity? You mentioned before your father was Czech. So what are you expected to do?
Well, I am expected to do two things. At first, to declare that I'm Slovak, which I can do it in America. For me, it's in America, it's no problem to say I'm Slovak and I'm a Slovak writer. But if I'm asked in Slovakia who you are, it means not that somebody wants to answer, but somebody wants to blackmail you, that you have to declare that you are Slovak. It means if you declare that, then you have to be loyal to that state. I mean, ethnic group and the state is the same. So if you criticize, for example, the state or the government, so you are not Slovak. You can't be, because if you are Slovak, you can't criticize government. This is a logic of Slovaks who wants me to make me to declare my Slovak identity. And this is a problem. I mean, I don't say that I'm Slovak in Slovakia, although everybody knows. And I am, you know, this is just a typical example that the Minister of Culture, who is, who doesn't like me very much, wrote about me in an article in a newspaper, that I'm Slovakized intellectual. Means not Slovak in origin, but somehow not a real Slovak. This is kind of things which happen, that those who are critics are accused not to be Slovak enough or Slovaks at all. And this it creates just a tension in society, because many intellectuals are critical in Slovakia, but they don't want to be accused being not a Slovaks. And it is kind of ideological pressure you have to face. And this is more psychological and ideological than physical, but still this pressure is quite big.
If you had your choice, would you prefer to live in the Czech Republic?
I have the choice.
Have the choice?
Of course. Many times I was asked to move. I was asked by Slovaks, I mean, who don't like me, to move for Prague and not to bother Slovaks living there. I was also asked by Czech. They asked me very often, why do you live in Slovakia? You don't need to fight with them. Move to Prague and you will have a good life. Well, I'm a Slovak writer. I just want to live there, and I don't want to somehow to withdraw and to give up. This is one reason. The other reason is that I really think that Slovakia is a very interesting country, and the situation there is, I think it's still, it's a very good chance for a process towards democracy. It's just, and it's very inspiring for me, and I want to be part of that. So it's for me more interesting than in Bratislava than in Prague, I have to admit. To be a writer in Bratislava is now for me more valuable than in Prague.
Why?
Well, Prague started to be a very nice but more westernized city. It's almost, if you walk in the Prague and you just look to the first floor, you are almost like in Paris. All boutiques and shops are as in Paris or in London. Maybe if you look at the second floor, it's different because second floor is still not repaired or reconstructed enough, and it remembers that reminds you that you are in Prague. But Prague is now really West European or Central European city, and sometimes mecca of many intellectuals and even Americans. There are 30,000 Americans in Prague now, and it's lost somehow its Kafka's identity. I liked so much when I was in Prague many times before. Bratislava is in this meaning very interesting city with a lot of tensions, but and sometimes very uncomfortable. But something is happening in Bratislava. I have a feeling that in Prague it's a little bit boring for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, what language do you write in?
Oh yeah, I write the fiction. I write in Slovak, but sometimes it is a very difficult situation for me because when my father died, I started somehow, I didn't know why, probably it was something under the consciousness, I started to write in Czech too. And I discovered that this language, I have in fact two mother languages, literary languages. I can write as a writer in both languages. And I wrote some essays, and I continue in that, writing some essays in Czech. And, well, probably in Czechoslovakia, I'm the only one who really have, as a writer, two mother languages. And I discovered that these languages are, on one hand, very similar. On the other, very different if you use them as language of literature. And I discovered of this big misunderstanding between Slovaks and Czechs. They don't know how do they use actually their language. Czechs are very obsessed by their language. This language is wonderful. But this obsession is somehow, it's a burden. You are obsessed by the language so much that it's sometimes it covers your thoughts, and you can continue in writing without discovering that you are writing just stupidities. But it sounds so well. In Slovak language is different. Slovak language is more modest, and you have to be very careful what you are writing about, because if you write stupid things, it immediately you will recognize it. And, well, I wrote an essay about that, and it was a big scandal in Slovakia because Slovaks felt insulted that this language, I wrote about that language as something more or less developed. What I don't think is true, but, well, I just was accused again as anti-Slovak, although I am a Slovak writer, and I write fiction in Slovak.
Writing in the Slovak language, that means that only people in Slovakia can read your book unless it's in translation?
No, Slovak language is so similar to Czech that every Czech can read in Slovak and every Slovak can read in Czech without any problems.
I see.
So the truth is that Slovaks read more Czech literature than in opposite, that Czechs are, in this meaning, more ignorant towards Slovak literature. And I have to admit that I wanted to cross this, and I was asked by a Czech publisher to be translated in Czech language. I just refused. I told them, look, you have to read in my book in Slovak if you want. If you don't want, so don't read, but I don't want to translate it in Czech.
Well, why not?
Well, I think that's, for me, very important that Czechs and Slovaks should know their languages, and they should continue understanding of these languages, and if you translate these works, so you then lose your ability or desire to read in a different language. And I'm pretty sure about that every Czech can really read without any problems in Slovak. Even people don't recognize if they read in Czech or Slovak, so are so used to reading these languages. So I didn't want to develop this border between Czechs and Slovaks being translated into Czech.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Hi, thank you.
Martin Šimečka, his novel The Year of the Frog, has just been published in the U.S. This is Fresh Air.